11 this morning. As a young man, I had a gaggle of friends that hung out together at family camp, Living Waters in Cherry Tree, Pennsylvania. There were, most of the youth would go to youth camp, but there were a few of us who hung around for family camp. Now, youth camp, they did their best to exhaust all the teenagers so they'd get at least a couple hours of sleep. They would wake them up early and run them all around, have activities all day, late into the night. But at family camp, there was nothing structured for us young folks, so we kind of created our own activities. And my friends and I became known as the Graveyard Gang. That came from a night when we punked or pulled a practical joke on a young lady in a graveyard. I was the aberration. I had a hump in my back and wig on and aluminum foil over my face and kind of drug myself around the graveyard. And we had bad characters behind all the tombstones and up in trees moaning and groaning. So we became known as the graveyard. We loved the Lord and we spent all our time and all of that, but we also knew how to have a good time. We did go to youth camp one summer, and we challenged the whole camp to a football game. So there were eight of us, and there were as many as 20 or more on the other side as we played. Now, you have to understand, my buddies were big guys. We averaged 230 pounds, 6'3". That's pretty big for teenagers. And as they would carry players off the other side and bring others on, it was a roaring good time. Now, I say we are averaging 230 pounds. That's with Paul Askey and I. Paul was actually smaller than I was. We were the wide outs in the defensive backfield. But our quarterback was a defensive lineman from Mansfield College. And he weighed 305 pounds and was just as quick as a leopard. So our favorite play on offense was a quarterback sneak. Where does a 305-pound quarterback sneak? Anywhere he wants to. And it was quite a game. So I have all these memories from these. I'd only see them a week out of the year, these friends of mine from Altoona and Shalakta and all points around Pennsylvania. But it's amazing how close-knit we became with time. Eventually, they sold Living Waters Camp and started with Bongiorno Center up here. And I got a little nostalgic one day and took a drive over to Cherry Tree to walk those hallowed grounds. And I walked up the street where my parents had a cabin that we had rented year after year. And I remembered the time old Vern McGinnis, I was taking my shirt off and I got it up to about here. He tackled me around the waist and I grabbed him around and I flung him up over my shoulder. And here we ended up outside the cabin. I looked up where the wall used to be. And I thought, Mom's not going to like this very much. Well, I saw that old cabin, and then I walked through that tabernacle where I had wept so many tears at that altar and heard so many strong messages and so on. But instead of feeling all the warm fuzzies I thought I was going to feel, I felt strangely lonely. I just ached for the quote-unquote good old days, if you know. And I discovered in those moments, it's not the grounds that are hallowed. It's the people. They made it special. And you've experienced that too. It might be your first year and it's Mother's Day and Mom's gone on to be with the Lord. Or maybe you went to a Willie Nelson concert and Willie didn't show up. And they had some sideshows or whatever else, but that's not why you were there. Patrick Mahomes not starting for the Kansas City Chiefs. It's just not the same game. I have some friends that lived out in California for a while. And it was Michael Jordan's last year of playing basketball. And they saved up a lot of money. The tickets cost them over $1,000 a piece to go see him in their city. So they went to the game. And found out that Michael retired the day before he decided to call it quits in the middle of the season. And how disappointed they were. Now, the Staples Center is a beautiful basketball arena. All the concessions were up and running. They had all the halftime entertainment and everything else, but it wasn't the same because who they were looking for wasn't there. Now imagine going to the temple looking for Jesus and you can't find him there. That's where we find today's text. John chapter 11, verse 54. Therefore, Jesus no longer moved about publicly among the people of Judea. Instead, he withdrew to a region near the wilderness, to a village called Ephraim, where he stayed with his disciples. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, many went up from the country to Jerusalem for their ceremonial cleansing before the Passover. They kept looking for Jesus, and they stood in the temple courts. They asked one another, "What do you think? Isn't he coming to the festival at all?" Father, we do want to find Jesus today. Church can be so many things to so many people. It can be done right and it can be done lousy. It can be done great and we can miss it. But Lord, we don't want to miss you today. Draw us in closer, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's not Passover yet. It's the week before Passover. And people are already going up to Jerusalem to get ready for the Passover. Now, there were physical things that needed to be done. If you had a large family coming, and everybody was a large family in those days, you wanted to find a venue, a place where you could rent so that your family could enjoy the festival together, the Passover meal. There were groceries to buy. You needed to buy lamb, bitter herbs, unleavened bread, get everything together. So there were a lot of preparations that needed to be done. But that's not what this text is talking about. This text is talking about preparing spiritually. They knew that the highest festival of all was coming, the highest spiritual event in Israel's calendar. And they knew you needed to get ready for something like that. You don't just come in all flustered right on time and we're going to worship. No, they wanted to prepare their hearts. They realized that it had been a while since the last festival, since they were at the temple, since they got really serious with God. And they wanted to come and go through a purification rite and get their minds and their hearts right to be there with God. That would do us good as a congregation, not just to rush into church. Not just to have the battle over who gets the bathroom and so on, and, oh, he's touching me in the car and all that kind of stuff. But to be thinking about, where are we going? Why are we going to be there? And prepare ourselves. Get mentally and spiritually ready for worship. Often we use our whole worship time trying to get ourselves in that mode. But we need to come prepared. I like these people. They showed up early. They needed to be there next week, but they came this week just to make sure they were in the right frame of mind and heart to present themselves before the Lord. So most of these folk are pretty pious. They've studied scripture. They've got a prayer life going on. They're coming. They've been untainted by the politics of the temple. They don't care, Pharisee, Sadducee, Herodian, Zealot. They're here to find God. Maybe they're a little naive as to all of the backroom politics that have been going on in the meantime, and that's okay. They're just there to find God. You know, if people go to church with the right heart, they're going to find the Lord. The church itself might be messed up. Maybe the pastor's not, maybe there's an argument going on within the body. There's this or that. But if you go to be with God, you're going to find God. And these folk were able to cut through all of that stuff and just have some time there with the Lord and waiting on the Lord. Now, there were a lot of teachers available because it's the week before Passover. And there's always somebody teaching at the temple. You had rabbis of every stripe imaginable, and everybody kind of wanted to put themselves forward. There were many rooms in the temple, and I imagine from time to time there was probably a schedule published of, you know, Rabbi Schmidt is over in the Abraham room and he's teaching on creation this week. And in the Jacob room is Rabbi Whoop-de-doo and he's teaching on, you know, whatever. And so where would you like to go and who would you like to hear? These people are here early. They've seen the venue that is prepared and all. And they've got one question on their mind. Where's Jesus? He's the one we want to see. Because in recent years, whenever they've come to the temple, they've met Jesus there. Now, Jesus didn't live in Jerusalem. He lived in Galilee a lot of miles away. But when it came to festivals, we learn from this one, Jesus was an early bird. He was one of the ones who liked to show up early, not necessarily just to prepare himself, but to be there for those who wanted to be prepared for meeting God. Wouldn't it be wonderful to visit Jerusalem, be thinking about celebrating the Passover, and then hearing Jesus teach as you are getting ready? Oh, man, you want to get right with God, you need to hear Jesus. You need to hear that word. And so in recent times, whenever they went early, they were used to seeing Jesus there. So much so that when they didn't find him there early as well, what do you think? Isn't he coming to the festival at all? Now, Pastor Ray stopped me after the early service and he said, I'm just curious, where did you get the concept or the thought that Jesus came to the festivals early? And I said, well, I got it from this text. You know, there are certain people who come to church. If they're not here early, you're not concerned about that because they're never early. In fact, I often say, don't count our people until 10 minutes after the service starts, you know. But there are other people, they're early birds. If I get here at 6 o'clock in the morning on Sundays or a little bit earlier than that. I walk back in the kitchen. Guess who's already here? Sam. I walk in the kitchen. Sam's not here. And maybe the Hershes walk in. Steve Gephardt. Others walk in. That's what we would be saying. What? What do you think? Isn't he coming to church at all today? Because we're just used to Sam being here and he's cooking sandwiches for everybody and everything else. We don't walk in and I won't mention any names. Well, why aren't they coming today? Well, we don't expect them at that time, right? But when you've seen them there, you expect them there. And these folk are saying, what do you think? Isn't he coming to the festival at all? I don't know about you, but I like to be early for everything. If I'm not 15 minutes early, I feel like I'm running late. And it's just a thing with me. I know that there are other people that doesn't bother them at all, obviously. But to me, it's a thing. And so I like to be there. And if I'm not there early, it would be a question. Isn't he coming at all? Because he's always here early to everything. So that must have been Jesus' modus operandi as well. The people were there early to seek God. He was there for them. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Once they'd been in Jesus' presence, not even the temple felt like the temple any longer. They'd come for years before Jesus started his ministry. They'd never heard of Jesus before. They were coming to the temple and they were absolutely thrilled with what they found there. It was a gorgeous building. It was gold-plated walls, marble, magnificent. Compared to their homes, it was a completely different world. It even smelled like the temple. There was an incense they only burned in the temple, and you could smell it nowhere else. You ever walk into a florist shop, and it reminds you of a funeral? Because, you know, every time you go to a funeral, you could walk into the temple. You smelled that smell. You were in the presence almost immediately simply because of the fragrance. But these folk had come to be attracted to something else in time. And that was they met Jesus there. And when they showed up early, he had shown up. And they stopped and they listened to him teach. And some of those other rabbis, they were good, but none of them individually or collectively could replace Jesus. They just wanted Jesus. And I can see them talking to one of the tour guides. Hey, have you seen Jesus? No, but we have Rabbi Whoop-de-doo over room number 2. Yeah. But Jesus, have you seen Jesus anywhere? And that can happen in church too. We can come to church looking for something other or being attracted to something else. But if Jesus isn't in the building, it's not church. Soon these streets, these hallways would be packed with people. But these are the early birds, and they've got the right heart. They've not been divided by all the politics. They just want more and more and more. Isn't that interesting? The people who have the most of the Lord want him more than everybody else does. Those who are nominal and could really use a little bit more of the Lord, they're really not interested in more of God. Strange how that works. But the more you get, the closer you come, the more you want, the closer you want to become. Isn't he coming to the festival at all? Can you hear a little protest in that? I'm disappointed. Hey, I got here early just so I could see him. Isn't he coming at all? Are we there yet? You kind of hear an adolescent echo in that. I'm disappointed. This is why I'm here now. They told me that Jesus comes early and I haven't found it. Isn't he coming at all? It's early. It's not time for it to start. But they want him now. Not just then. But they want him now. Priests all around, gold-plated walls, beautiful carvings, hanging fabrics, that smell. But no Jesus. And they're bummed. Hallelujah, they're bummed. Thank God they're bummed. Maybe they even scolded themselves and, oh, we shouldn't be looking for a guy. We're at the temple. This is the festival. We ought to be more focused on this or that. Then we get to verse 57. But the chief priests, but the high mucky mucks, and the Pharisees had given orders that anyone who found out where Jesus was should report it so they might arrest him. Wow. Everybody's looking for Jesus. Some are looking so they can worship him, and others so they can arrest him. You had your pro-Jesus people and you had your anti-Jesus people. Same society, same nationality, same block in history. Some love him and others hate him. Now it's interesting to me who belongs to each crowd. You would think that the anti-Jesus people would have come riding in on their hot chariot, you know, and come on, yeah, where's that Jesus dude? We're upset when he's crashing our parties. Nobody's drinking with us anymore, and he's bringing us down. Where's he at? And you'd think that the high priest, the chief priest would be, oh, where's our Jesus at? He's our golden boy. He knows the scripture like Noah. Oh, he's been doing wonderful things. People are healed. It's just the opposite. Coming in, hey, where's that dude Jesus? He saved my soul and he cleansed me. Woo! I got to find him. I'm going to give him a bear hug when I see him. And you got the holy chief priest saying, we want to murder somebody today. And I think he'd be a good candidate for it. Is that messed up or what? Aren't you glad we live in a society that's completely different from that? We've got politicians and leaders that are leading us in a moral fashion to what is good and right and grounded and right and holy. And the hoodlums are the hoodlums. No, wait a second. No. They arrested the fellow who was preaching on the street corner, and they gave a police protection to the gay rights parade. Wow. Wow. It kind of convoluted there, don't you? Don't you think? But it was happening in Jesus' day. The chief of all the people. You know, if you lined up a bunch of folk, you know, you wouldn't pick them out of the lineup. That's the murderer over there, the guy in the nice robes with the cross and the scripture all tattooed. And No. Wow. Those were the enemies of Christ. Now, I think one of the positives that's going to come out of all this stuff is that our light's going to shine like never before. You're either going to turn your light off or you're going to let it shine. I was walking out of Walmart yesterday, the Holy Sanctuary there, and I had my Expect Jesus tank top on, and a fellow was coming the other direction, and he said, what church you go to? So I told him a little bit about our church. I said, well, what church do you go to? Oh, I don't do church anymore. I go up to the Buddhist temple about once a month over here, so on and so on. I said, well, I'm sorry to hear that. He looked a little disappointed in my response. I said, because they don't have a Savior there. And, I thought about 10 other things. I thought, oh, I should have said that. But I do feel sorry for Buddhists because they trust in themselves. And that's what he said as we parted. He said, well, they teach us to improve ourselves. And I said, well, I need a Savior. And I just prayed that that little seed would get in. He used to go to church, but now he goes to the Buddhist temple. And I thought, how sad. The Lord has allowed them to come here so that we could witness to them, not so that they could corrupt us. And I feel sorry for Buddhists because they trust in themselves. How many have ever let yourself down? I got here this morning. I got here at 6 o'clock. I got here good and early. You know, I'm good to go. I forgot my thumb drive that had my PowerPoint on it. And I thought, oh, Lord, help me. And then the Lord reminded me, you've got a computer up there. You can get your other thumb drive, get it off. Yes, hallelujah. Uh-oh, it's a new computer. My old computer that it's on is at home. I sat down. I said, oh, God, help me. Here, the files had transferred from one to the other. I thought, oh, hallelujah. God does IT. Hallelujah. He's into IT. And thus we have a presentation this morning because God helps Joel Everhart, even though he's now 66 years old and he can't remember to bring his thumb. There's very few things I need to bring along with me to get here. I remembered to bring the car. That was good. I remembered to, bring my notebook. I've got my notes, but just a thumb drive. And I'm going to trust in myself? No, no. I feel sorry for Buddhists. Become the best self you can become. I'm all for that. Let's do the best we can. But I need a Savior. I need Jesus Christ. And I know you get it too. He's in all of our songs. From the time I was young to, remember the old hymn, Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. There was an old chorus we used to sing, reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. He's passing by this moment. Your need he'll supply. Reach out and touch the Lord. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Your presence is heaven to me. Please be careful not to come to church with any other agenda but to find Jesus. You see, those people came early and they're looking for Jesus. Those chief priests and so on, they worked in the temple day after day. It became common to them. It was a ritual. I imagine some of them even thought, oy vey, it's Passover week. We're going to have people everywhere. And how are we going to do this? Let's do this better than we did. Somebody parked their donkey right outside my office and I stepped right in. And it became something other than what it was supposed to be. Please, 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 don't come to church for any other, I got so much to do at church today. I got to make sure everybody gets signed up for this, and I got to make sure that take care of that. We do need people that help us with those kinds of things. But if you cannot tent your spirit so that you're excited about being with Jesus in this place, please resign whatever you do and get the heart and the mind back where it needs to be. Let your ministry be an outflow, a joy of being filled with the presence of God. Please don't come dragging to church and saying, oh, no, I have to. Or, oh, boy, I'm going to be a part of this and I'm all excited about this or that. Don't let this or that get higher than Jesus in your heart and in your mind. This is all about him, and it needs to be all about him. Everything else needs to die and fall away. Please, if you're dragging yourself to church, find some alone time with God. How many people we talk to, like that fellow in Walmart, I used to go to church. Did he really? Did he? But now he's disappointed. Maybe somebody hurt his feelings. Maybe the pastor disappointed the whole crowd. Maybe they made a decision that was unpopular or something. But he no longer goes to church. Doesn't need church. But friends, we need Jesus. And there has to be some time in every service when we get it. It could be a chorus that we're singing. It could be a part of the word that's being preached. It could be the closing prayer. But we need to get a little Jesus when we're in this place. Or what we're doing is futile. Might as well sell the property, close the doors. And in fact, in the Old Testament, God said, I'd rather somebody lock the temple doors than bring the kind of sacrifices you're bringing. So can you imagine coming to church? Well, I'm here. I honestly believe that the Holy Spirit would say, please don't bother. Come right or don't come at all. Come for the right reason. Press in, press through. There will be discouragements. There will be distractions. There will be other offerings. Hey, how about we go fishing out on the boat Sunday morning? Hey, I got tea time, 9 o'clock Sunday morning. How about you join our foursome? I let nothing get higher than Jesus. And don't you love him? Don't you love the Lord? Where would we be without Jesus? Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. In the morning when I rise, don't settle for a bit of religion. Well, I did my duty. I went to church this week. I hope God noticed so that he blesses my stock portfolio. Or I get a little overtime this week. I did my thing. No. Give me Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. Let your spirit rise within me. Jesus, you are my best friend. Nothing will ever change that. Please don't quit because somebody else quit. Well, you know, I used to go to church and so many of the people I knew, and they're not going there anymore, so I figured why go? That's a great question. I hope you come up with the right answer. Because if you're just going because somebody else goes, that's not a very good motivation. Whatever happened to though none go with me, still I will follow. Note the difference in heart between the early birds and the resident priests. The early birds loved Jesus. The resident priests were plotting murder. I don't know. The older I get, the more in love with Jesus I become. It doesn't grow old to me. It gets fresh. It gets new. I love him more as time goes by. But it can happen in an institution that we become institutionalized. And the word is no longer, it no longer thrills us. And we want a bigger church with a bigger stage and a bigger salary and more influence on the movers and the shakers, not just in the church, but in society itself. And so we're willing to compromise on some of the things that might make us unpopular with the crowd. And we want to make sure that let's get ourselves a big old rainbow flag to fly outside. And let's make sure they know that we're part moving with the culture and all these things. Do you know we are still crucifying Jesus today? We're saying you take your law, you take your will, and you get it out of our face. We're going to go with them now. We no longer want to hear about a man and a woman together for life. We no longer want to go according to those dictates. We're still. Get out of our courtrooms. Get out of our classrooms. Get off of our televisions. Get out of our churches. We're still crucifying him. We're just fine with the temple without Jesus in the middle of it. But there are still some hearts that won't be satisfied with anything less than Jesus and more of Jesus. You can take my job away. You can take my freedom away. You can have my house and everything in it. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. And those are the people that Jesus is looking for. Those that worship in spirit and in truth. The truth of the Word of God. Please don't settle for someplace in the valley. We've got Mount Faithful, the early birds who have come to get right with God. And then we've got Mount Cynical. Oh yeah, I used to do that church thing. They do nothing but ask for money all the time. And they're always tied up with this or that. And they bicker over the littlest of things. And then when I had a need, nobody helped me out. And so I'm done with them. I now go to the Buddhist temple once a month. But there's this place in between. Oh, you're not the cynical. Still in church, still moving along. But you're not the fanatical either. Don't mix me up with those people. No, I'm very comfortable here in the lukewarm setting and just settling in. Don't be satisfied with peripherals. Well, it's good now because the church has a youth group and they've got some activities going on. And the Royal Rangers go camping and the Girls Club is doing this and that and so on. Press in, past the crowd. Find Jesus today. Have you connected with him yet? Has he touched your life? Don't be satisfied with a yesterday experience. Well, I remember when I got saved, it was really powerful. I remember when God did this in my life. How about a fresh experience? Hot off the grill, hot off the altar. Would you stand with me this morning? I have all of what I need, but more of you.
Still. And yet I hunger still.
Steph, could you do me a favor and find All My Life You Have Been Faithful? We'll play that in just a few moments if you can find that. Okay, I just want to open up these altars this morning. You're welcome to go home after this, after I pray here. But if you'd like to linger just for a moment, if you'd just like to reassure the Lord, you're why I'm in this thing. You're why I live. Maybe you'd even like to have a prayer for the nation. You know, when we sing this chorus, the second time through, I sang it for our nation, more of you. We have all of what we're busting at the seams. You know, how many can't wait for the next iPhone to come out? You know, I think we got enough iPhones. How about the next update on your computer so that messes up your programs again? How many can't wait for that? You know, I think we got enough updates. Have all of what I need. America's got plenty of everything. But what we need is more of Him. Father, I don't even know how to pray this morning, Lord. I don't feel worthy to be the point man on this one, Lord. I need more of You. We need more of You. To even talk about the nation needs more of You, there's so much work personally and church-wise, Lord. But would You hear our prayer this morning? Would You receive us today? I remember when Hezekiah was king and they got ready for the Passover, but there people weren't really prepared. And he said, oh, God, forgive us. We're doing our best right now. And You did. You said, okay, I'll take you as you are. I'll take you as you are. What a God. Hallelujah. We know better. We should have been better by now, but we're just us. And if You'll receive us, God, here we are. Here we are. So, Lord, meet us in this place, we pray. And our families, God. Our families. I heard a guy on the radio this week, and he said, he's a pastor. And he said, his wife said to him one time at home, I wish I had the guy at home that you are at church. And he said it really cut him. He was angry at first, but then he was convicted. And now he's a changed man. God, would like to be the families at home we are at church. We'd like to be the people we are in You with our mate when we're alone together, Lord. We'd like to carry this further than we have before. So, Lord, we just want to spend a couple minutes with You before we go home. Receive us as we are, but don't leave us as we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, Steph, if you have that, go ahead. You're dismissed if you need to go. We understand that. The altars are open if you'd like to just linger a moment.